Let's turn for our message today to the book of Matthew. I want to read from the 7th chapter of Matthew's Gospel, and I'll be reading verses 24 through 27. Now, here's the title of this message. It's called A Tale of Two Heroes. A Tale of Two Heroes. In Matthew 7, 24, the Scripture says, and this is our Lord speaking. Most of you know this portion of Scripture as the Sermon on the Mount. And he says in verse 24, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. The rain descended, the floods came, and the rain beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded on a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them not, shall be likened to a foolish man, which built his house on the sand. The rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. Now these verses, if you noted while I was reading the Scripture, you will notice that these verses speak to men and women who hear the Word of God. Now let me repeat that again. He says, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house on a rock. And then he said, and whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not, I will liken him unto a foolish man. So, they do not say anything about those who do not hear the word. These words are spoken to those who hear the word of God. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings and doeth them, whosoever heareth these sayings and doeth them not. Most of you listening to me have heard the word of Christ. You've heard the word of God. Most of you have a Bible in your home. I doubt that there's a home where this program reaches that they do not have a Bible somewhere in the house. You've read a Bible. You've heard it quoted. You've heard it preached. Christ is preached today, not very effectively, and sometimes not very sincerely, and oftentimes not very truthfully, but at least his word is preached. Paul said Christ is preached out of contention and envy and jealousy, and I just thank God that Jesus Christ is preached. But his word is accessible. You have an opportunity to hear the word, don't you? Now let me ask you a couple of questions. If a man perishes from hunger when bread is on the table, is he to be pitied or to be blamed? Now here's a table full of good food, just laden down with good food, bread and milk and potatoes and gravy and meat. If a man perishes sitting right there looking at that food, is he to be pitied or to be blamed? Another question. If a man dies of thirst, sitting right beside a well, a deep well, of refreshing, cool, clear water, is he to be pitied or is he to be blamed? Another question. If a man dies of a disease, he has an incurable disease, and he dies from that incurable disease when an infallible cure is right in his hands. He's holding an infallible cure, a medicine that can make him whole. He's holding it in his hand. And that's what Paul said in Romans 10, the word of faith is right in your mouth. Listen to me, every time you use the name Lord, you use the name that saves. Every time you curse and swear and damn somebody with the name of God, you use the very name that saves. Every time you call the name of Jesus Christ as a curse word, byword, swear word, or whatever, you use the very name that can save. Now I ask you, whose fault is it if you go to hell? Whose fault is it if you go to hell? And are you to be pitied or are you to be blamed? Here you are with the very word of salvation on your coffee table or in your hands, and you still perish? If you hear the word of God and do it not, are you to be excused or should you be judged? God says you'll be judged. Christ said, my word will judge you, and they're without excuse. Well, let's go back to our text. Now, these words are spoken to those who have heard the word of God. He said, whosoever heareth my sayings. They're affected, people are affected different ways. He said, some hear my sayings and do them, some hear my sayings and do them not. All hearers are builders. Did you know that? All hearers are builders. Some build in a different fashion from others, but all hearers are builders of some sort. All religious people are builders of some sort. I want us today to look at four things. Number one, let's look at the builders themselves. And then secondly, let's look at their houses. And then thirdly, let's see if we can find out the difference. Now, both of them are builders, and both of them have houses, but there's a difference in these houses. And then let's watch the end, what happens to the two houses. All right, first of all, we have the builders. Our master said to his disciples, he said, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a man, a wise man, that Luke says he digged deep and found a rock and built his house on the rock. And Christ said, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and reject them and do them not and despise them, I will liken him unto a foolish man who was also a builder, who built a house, but he built it on the sand. And after a while, his house fell. Now, both of these men, as all religious men, felt a need for a refuge. They felt a need for a house. Not many people say, well, I don't believe in God. I don't believe in judgment. I don't believe in heaven or hell. I don't believe in eternity. No, most people feel a need for a refuge. Even the rich young ruler came to Christ and he said, good master, what good thing must I do to inherit eternal life? Even Nicodemus the Pharisee came to our Lord by night concerned and troubled about something. He wanted to talk about this matter of eternity, this matter of redemption, this matter of a man's relationship with God. But everybody who hears the word, who is conscious of God and the Bible and judgment and death and heaven and hell and eternity, everybody feels a need for some kind of hiding place, some kind of refuge, some kind of place to find some safety, protection. Well, these men resolved to build, both of them. Both of them. Both these men were hearers, and both of them felt a need for a refuge, some place to hide, some place to rest. And both of them actually resolved to build a house. They were determined. This wasn't just word only. It was deed. They sincerely built a house. Both of them built a house. And listen to this. They both finished what they started. They both persevered in building, and they finished their houses. Now, I know a lot of false religionists, they get religion today and lose it next week. They make a profession, and then they lose it in 6 months and forget it. But everybody doesn't. No, sir, all false professors, they don't quit. In fact, our Lord said they'll hold on to their refuge and hold on to their hiding place and hold on to their sandy house built on a sandy foundation till they actually stand before me in the judgment, and then they're going to say, wait a minute, Lord. While we preached in your name and prophesied in your name and cast out devils in your name and did many wonderful works in your name. And even at the judgment, they're holding on to their assurance. They're holding on to their confidence. They were sincere in this thing. All false professors are not hypocrites. I beg your pardon. Some of them are dead sincere. But their house is on the sand. Their house is on the wrong foundation. Their house is going to be destroyed. Let's stay with the builders now. They were both hearers. They both heard the scriptures. And they both felt a need. And they both resolved to build a house. And they both finished it. And moved in. And moved in. All right, secondly, let's look at the two houses. He says, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, the word of God. You see, the word of God is the power of God unto salvation. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth. God hath begotten us unto a living hope through the incorruptible seed, the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. All flesh is grass, and all the glory of man is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth and the flower fadeth, but the word of God abideth forever. They hear his word, and the man that does it, does what Christ commands and does what Christ tells us to do and does what Christ exhorts us to believe. Christ said he's like a wise man that dig deep and laid his built his foundation on a rock and built his house. He's a wise man. The other man just built it on the sand. Now let me note some things about these houses. Both of them built houses. Both of them built refuges for eternity. First of all, the house built on the sand was built a whole lot quicker than the one on the rock. Now, anybody out there that knows anything about building knows that you spend a lot of time on a foundation, especially if you're going to dig deep and lay that foundation on a rock. It's a whole lot faster just to put some boards down and start building walls and putting a roof on it. So the fellow that built on the sand, he had that thing built while the other fellow was still digging. He just got his house built in no time because he had no foundation. He just built it right on top of the sand. It went up fast. And I'll tell you, most false professions and most false decisions happen just that way. I'm not discounting sudden conversion. Saul of Tarsus was suddenly converted. The Philippian jailer was suddenly converted. The thief on the cross was suddenly converted. But I warn you, my friend, about this quick, easy believism that we're dealing with in 1980, which ignores Holy Spirit conviction, which ignores genuine repentance toward God, which ignores a searching of the heart and accounting of the cost, which ignores a faith in Jesus Christ, which ignores a breaking of the heart, which ignores accounting of the cost. Your eternal soul requires and demands that you count the cost, that you consider your need, and that you seek and search for a certain hope. The house on the false foundation went up a lot quicker than the one over here that was laid on the rock. The one that fell was built a lot faster because he didn't dig. He didn't search. He didn't seek. He didn't find a rock. He just laid it on the sandy foundation of self-righteousness, decisionism, a profession of faith, be baptized, join the church, be one of the bunch, you know. The other fellow's over here digging in the ground. He's going down. He's hunting that rock. He's seeking for that rock. I'll tell you something else about these two houses. The one built on the sand was built with a whole lot less effort than the one built on the rock. You know the hardest part about building a house is digging a foundation, digging a footer. I'm not talking about with a backhoe. I'm talking about with a back. I'm talking about with a pick and shovel. And this thing of laying your hope for eternity on the rock Christ Jesus, in digging deep to find that rock, requires a searching of the Scriptures. And a searching of the Scriptures is delicate and difficult work. Yes, it is. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, if you're going to make war on a fellow, you better count the cost, whether you have enough troops to get the job done. If you're going to build a house, you better count the cost, whether you have sufficient to finish it. Heart conviction and repentance is painful work. And the tearing down of old traditions is a troublesome work. And salvation and repentance is a new creation. It's a new birth. It's a new nature. It's a new life. I worry about these preachers that just pressure people and push people into sudden decisions and sudden professions. Just hold up your hand. Walk down the aisle, shake my hand, say this prayer, God bless you, you're saved, see you in heaven. If you know you're going to heaven as if you're already there, raise your hand. Listen, my friend, our Lord said the wise man is a man who hears my word, who digs deep, and he finds a rock, the rock, and he builds on it. He doesn't build rapidly, he doesn't build quickly, he doesn't build with no effort. It takes effort. And I'll tell you something else. That house built on the sand. These houses are not alike, not by any means. Both these men have houses. Both of them have refuges. Both of them have hiding places, but they're different. One's built on the sand, and one's built on the rock. And the one built on the sand. Now, any of you fellas know anything about building? If a house doesn't have a foundation, something's going to happen to it. It's not going to stay like it was. Something's going to happen to it. First of all, it's going to be out of plumb. That's the first thing you're going to notice. That house is unbalanced. It's out of plumb. That corner begins to drop, or this corner begins to drop, you see. It's out of plumb. It's out of balance. The windows won't open because they're crooked. The doors start where they won't open, you know, or you get them open and they won't close. And that's the way it is with a fellow that doesn't have his foundation built on Christ. If it's on the sand, he's generally unbalanced. He's out of plumb. He's high on prophecy and low on grace. He just makes a whole lot of prophecy. Every time you listen to him, he's talking about prophecy. But he never talks about grace. He never talks about mercy. He never talks about Christ. He's big on healing of the body, and he's silent on substitution. He's big on sanctification, and he's little on justification. He's high on doctrine and says nothing of practical holiness. He's unbalanced. He's out of plumb. But a man who's built on Christ is balanced. He loves the prophecies. He loves the atonement. He loves sanctification. He loves justification. He loves righteousness. He loves redemption. He loves the sovereignty of God. He loves the effectual work of Christ. He loves perseverance. He loves irresistible grace. He loves the Word of God, all of it. He's not twisted and warped and majoring on this point and neglecting all the other things that give God the glory. Tell you another thing about this house built on the sand. It's not only out of plumb and unbalanced, but it develops some cracks. Anytime the foundation's not right, the house is going to crack. It'll crack. And you know what happens when a house cracks? And the wind blows. It's uncomfortable. The cold wind blows in. The snow blows in. And it's uncomfortable. And I'll tell you this. No false profession can yield you any comfort. No false profession. No house built on a sand. You might have you a refuge. You might have you a hiding place. You might have your house built on the sand, but I'll guarantee you, my friend, you might hide in there and you might make a lot of noise on the outside, but you're cold on the inside and you're troubled on the inside. And it never yields any peace and it never yields any rest, because only Christ can give a sinner peace and only Christ can give a sinner rest. A sinner can only find warmth and rest and peace in Christ in time of trial and storm. Another thing about these sand houses, these false professions, not only are they unbalanced, and not only are they full of cracks that let the wind in, and they're uncomfortable, but they always need to be repaired. Always need to be repaired. You know why churches have to keep having these special meetings, evangelistic meetings? The weaker the church is, the more meetings they have. That's right, the more singings and revivals and the more programs and the more promotions, the weaker they are in the faith, the weaker they are in the gospel, the weaker they are in the Word of God, the more revivals and these special seasons they have to have. You know why? Because their houses always need repairing. When a house is built on the sand, it starts to shift and to sink. You have to keep calling a plumber. You have to keep calling an electrician. You have to keep calling a carpenter. You have to keep calling a brick mason. You have to keep calling somebody to come in and repair it and revive it and rededicate it and rebuild it. It falls down on this side and he patches it up. If it falls down on the mission side, you bring in a mission evangelist, you know, to pull that side up where it belongs. It falls down on the soul winning side, you bring up in one of these promoters to promote soul winning. If it falls down on the prayer side, you bring in some great preacher on prayer. If it falls down over here, you bring in the singers to get the people. And it falls down on giving. Some preachers say the church won't give. They bring in a tithing expert or a bonding company to get the people all fired up. Repairing, reviving, rededicating, rebuilding all the time, because the old house hadn't got a foundation. Here's what needs to be done. Pastor needs to preach the gospel. And let the people just tear down all the old houses. Just get a bulldozer and sweep them all away. Just tear out the rubbish and start all over again and dig down and find Christ, the foundation, and start all over again. Unfortunately, though, the owner of the house built on the sand, it's in bad shape, and he knows it, and he's not comfortable in it. And he's sitting in there freezing to death in the winter and burning up in the summer. And he's always had to repair it and rededicate it and refurnish it and rebuild it, but he's not too disturbed, because most of the houses on the block are just like his. They're all just like his. So he's not too concerned. Everybody around him's got houses built on the sand. And he's constantly told that this is normal. It's normal. And he's constantly told that he's all right. Peace, peace, they say, when there is no peace. Well, he's never lived in a sound house anyway, so how would he know the difference? He's never been at peace. He's never been at rest. He's never resided in a refuge where there was no trouble, just resting in Christ. He's never ceased from his labors and rested in Christ. He's always lived in a sandy house. Well, let's see the difference in these two houses. Our Lord said, "Whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I liken him unto a man who dig deep." and found a rock and built his house. Now, the real difference in these houses is underground, where the eye can't see. That is, your eye and my eye and the preacher's eye. There is an eye that can see where the difference is, the eye of the Lord. God looketh not on the outward countenance, but he looketh on the heart. You pass by two houses. Here's one built on the sand and one over here built on the rock. And you look at them with your human eye and you can't see the difference. An expert contractor architect can. He knows the difference. And he points out the house that's built on the rock. And our Lord God knows the difference. And the real difference is out of sight. The real difference is in the heart. That's where the work of grace takes place. It's a work men cannot see, but God sees. It's a heart work. God is nigh unto them of a broken heart. With the heart man believeth unto righteousness. My son, give me thine heart. Keep thy heart out of it are the issues of life. Out of the heart proceeds the things that defile a man. What is this heart work? It's a real knowledge of sin. A real knowledge of sin. What is this heart work? It's a real understanding of inability. My inability to please God, my inability to satisfy his law, my inability to honor his justice, my inability to make myself whole. I need Christ. I need his blood to cleanse me. I need his righteousness to clothe me. I need his intercessory work to mediate for me with the Father. It's a real faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's a heart work. It's underground. It's where men can't see. Most of these so-called revivals today, you raise a hand or lift a foot or stick up a finger or make a statement or shake a hand or write your name or sign something. Who's emphasizing heart work? Keep your hands down. Keep seated where you are. Don't walk up and down aisles. Salvation's not in the front of a church. It's in Christ. Quit shaking hands and making statements and signing cards and pledging and doing these things. Look to Christ. Nowhere in the Bible it says, he that raiseth his hand shall be saved. It says, he that believeth on the Son of God. Nowhere in the Bible it says, he that walketh an aisle and shaketh a preacher's hand shall have eternal life. He that believeth on the Son of God hath everlasting life. Nowhere in the Word of God does it say, he that signeth a card and joineth a church shall be saved. And yet we've got all this outward work. We need a heart work. We need to do some digging into the very soul of the earth and find the rock. Into the Bible and find the rock. Where is this rock? It's Jesus Christ. Isaiah 28:16. I lay in Zion. God said, I lay in Zion. That rock's there because God put it there. That rock is available because God made it available. That rock is yours because God gave it. That rock is there because God Almighty in his sovereign grace and sovereign will and sovereign mercy put that rock there. He said, I lay in Zion a rock. And that stone, it's a stone, it shall not move. It's a tried stone, tried by Satan, tried by the law, tried by men, and tried by God. It's a precious stone, precious to the Father, precious to the believer, because it's just one. And it's a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not be ashamed. The foolish man heard the word. He heard a sermon on heaven. He heard a sermon on hell. He saw a film on hell. And he determined to build himself an eternal refuge. So at the sound of the preacher's voice and the quiet singing of the choir, he rushed forward and took the preacher's hand and said, now I'm saved. He built his house without a foundation. He had no foundation. He had no rock. He had no truth. The wise man heard the word of God, and he heard it again. And he listened and heard it again. And he heard it in his heart, and he examined his life. And he digged deep, and he wept over sin, and he counted the cost, and he sought God's mercy, and he cried out for grace in Christ Jesus, and he laid his foundation on the rock, Jesus Christ. He found Christ in the Word. He found Christ in the promise. He found Christ in the prophecy, and he built his hope on Jesus Christ. Everything that came forth from that rock foundation, Jesus Christ. It's all underground. Nobody really knew what was going on till he started up with the house, but the foundation was already laid. And his neighbors and friends says, what happened to old Bill? You see, this foolish fella, he had to go around and tell everybody something happened to him. But this wise man, the work was done on the inside, and when you cleanse the inside of the cup, the outside's clean too. When something's done in the heart, something happens to the mouth. preacher friend of mine used to say, if a man really gets converted, the old hound dog in the backyard will know it. He'll know it. It'll leak out on you, my friend. But the work's a hard work. Now, last of all, the trials. Our Lord said both these men built houses. One of them dig deep, and he found a rock, and he built his house on that rock. The other man, in a hurry, quickly, without any effort, just threw up a refuge, and then the trials started coming. There was rain. What is rain? It comes from up there. Trials from heaven. Trials from heaven. And then there was a flood that came up. Trials from the earth. Trials from the earth, from everybody and everything. Sickness, old age, depression, trouble, all these things. And then the wind. The wind's mysterious. What kind of trial is it? That's trials you really can't account for where they're coming from. They come from within. They're something you can't explain. They're trials like despair and despondency and all of these different things that happen in the heart and the mind. You just can't explain. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and you hear the sound, feel the effect, but you can't tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth. Well, that house built on the sand is all right in the sunshine, but when the trials came, it began to shake. And then it fell. And great was the fall of it. But that house built on Christ, on the rock, when those trials came from heaven, and when those floods came from the earth, persecution, insult, slander, mockery, all of these things, and when those winds blew and those things that troubled you and tried you, you couldn't explain, you couldn't account for, it stood. Why? The better house had a better foundation. That's the whole key. The foundation was Christ.